less time to pause more, just because I want to be hearing him and I don't want to cram in more words. And I'm just so happy to be here. And this is my second place I've shared in the last 18 months outside of my own nation, Mozambique. And I want to start with a confession. About 26 years I've traveled the world a third of my life and had to get on a lot of planes and leave my family and my country, northern Mozambique. And I did it for him, and I gave myself for him to do that. And I fussed for a while, and then I found joy in it, because he said, I've called you to do it, and I want you to find joy in it. I want you to love whatever my will is for your life. And I just lost it. Like, I'm sorry, Lord. Because I used to just cry, get on the plane, and I'd just cry and I'd say, why, Lord? And I would say terrible things like, they're not hungry in the West. And I would say that to the Lord, as if I had the right, the arrogance to tell the Lord what to do with me. And these 18 months where there was no travel outside of, I got to see my family and get a new tooth. That was it, you know. It was just, I was back to what I did. Most of you don't know, but, and you don't need to, but what I did two-thirds of the time, which is preach in the dirt with no microphone. And just hold the poor and the... It's so hard to be up here. It is like a catwalk. It really is. It's like, sweet Jesus, I want to see their face. Anyway, we can work with it. It's not dirt, but we can work with it, you know. So I'm there. That's a humor, you know. I don't really have much of one, but when I get hit by Holy Spirit, I just, it's really quite fine, you know, like. Hundreds of friends I don't know how many I don't know how many. They just died. They've been crucified and beheaded. And their homes burned. This is in my province, where Roland and I live. And I was like, God, I think now, I told the Lord, it was in a meeting with you and the other Michael, two Michaels and Lyle. First meeting I did, 18 months outside of my country, besides Zoom. And I had this, the audacity to tell the Lord that I was done traveling now. That I think we did enough. That 26 years of going, a third of my life, was enough. And then I was in a meeting And Michael was there, and suddenly I started groaning in the spirit. And I was like, Lord, seriously? So many people think I'm nuts already. You know, and I'm sure I was the loudest one. And I was groaning and groaning and groaning with words that cannot be uttered. Just like, I can't do it. There's no way I could make myself do it unless Holy Spirit's on me. But I could yield to it or I could resist. And I was like, Lord, aren't we done? You know, aren't we done traveling? And do I always, like, do I need to look foolish again in the West? And I said some things like, I don't go on all the social media, so I don't know, but sometimes people tell me things, so I'm like, I don't want to hear, and I don't want to hear it, I don't want to go. And God himself, you know, he knows how to use a religious term for some of you, rebuke you. God knows how to do it. He's like, it wasn't gentle Holy Spirit saying, you know, sweetie, it's okay. I understand, sweetheart. You are getting older, and that's a lot on your body, honey. And it's okay. And they've got lots of other preachers, and you don't need to go with friends. Give me a hug, honey. Sometimes God was just, you know, Daddy, God, let's come and snuggle with me, honey. And we'll just snuggle. I love snuggling. I'm a snuggler. I snuggle with my 38-year-old when I see him. Let's snuggle. I love to snuggle. I like it when just in the presence, snuggling with the Lord. This was not a snuggle. There was no snuggling whatsoever. He said, how dare you tell me when you go where and do what? You said anywhere, anytime. And you'd say anything. I said, oh, Jesus. It means I'm not going to be able to get to my room by myself, am I? I mean, I'm thinking clearly. You don't know it, but I'm thinking clearly and I can hear you. So I tell her, like, this is it. It took 2-3 people. The Lord, that was before I shared. I was groaning. I'm like, Lord, what are we doing here? He said, you're groaning for America. You're groaning in intercession for America. You're groaning in intercession for America, and it's 911. You're groaning in intercession for America, and you are called to intercede and called to pray and called to fast and called to believe for another move of my spirit in America. And it's wake up time for the church. It's wake up time for the church. It's wake up time for the church. Show. Psalm 91:1. You come under the shadow of the Most High. So I repented again for trying to bargain with God over a life that has already been given. And if I don't tell you my weakness, you will not be able to see What the Lord wants you to see through my little life laid down. There's no bargaining once you're dead. Bargaining. So here we go. I love this book. I love the Word of God. I love the Word of God. Do you love the Word of God? I love the Word of God. Holy. I'm going to do. If you feel during, and there's some people, some of you who understood as I came in confession and repentance, and I'm talking, it's super real, and God's super serious about it, and so am I. I do not want to bargain with God. I do not want to tell him what to do with me. He can do anything. I told him that, and then I started bargaining again because I didn't want to come to the West. Because I live in a war zone where every single person that I speak to and my 99% Mozambican team speaks to, all of them run to Jesus with no problem every single day, every single moment. They all say yes. So I said, Lord, please, please don't send me to a place where they're not hungry, because it seems to me like a huge waste of time when the time is so short and there's so many people that have never heard the name of Jesus, and they're dying and being crucified and being cut in pieces. My pastor's 4.5-year-old son was cut into pieces by Al-Shabaab. And I said, Lord, why would you ask me to leave this place to come anywhere else? Lord, I don't understand. And then I groaned for hours for America. And you were there. You were there. I couldn't see you. I didn't even know what you looked like. But it didn't matter. Holy. And I started groaning for the Western Church. Groaning for the Western Church. And then, hey! And I said, Lord, they don't want to hear what I have to say. I told God again, I've served the Lord. I've loved him since I was 16 and he found me. And I thought I was finished bargaining. I thought I was really, really laid down. And that was just a few days back. And I realized, Lord, something in me still tries to crawl up and tell you what to do. And I just laid down. I just laid down. This groaning came over me. And then another thing. It's like, Lord, I haven't seen my Western friends, because we can't have visitors, obviously. We can't take responsibility. I want to. Forgive me, Jesus. I said, Lord, I would like to see my friends. And now I'm just groaning here. And I can't get up. And now it's going to take 3 people to get me to my room. I can't even greet people that I haven't seen in a year and a half, 2 years, some of them 3 years. And the thing is holy surrender. See, sometimes I think, try to explain yourself. They don't get it. And then I'm like, no. There's no time. But obviously, for me, I've always wanted to be a martyr, because how else would I want to go? I mean, seriously, I can't imagine. And it's really in our face right now. Like, they separate the believers from people of another faith. I spend 3-4 days a week out with my team, all Mozambicans. And we hold these people in our arms and they tell us the stories. And they separate one group from the other. And they ask them, will you deny Christ? Will you deny Christ? This is now. This is not yesterday only. This isn't just last week. This is now, now time, now time. And then they tie up the even the worst is the children. And this, they just behead them. But they let the parents watch. And I said, I can't tell the church that. I can't tell the Western church. I can't tell them. They can't handle it. There are children in the room. I can't. I said, I bargained with him again. And I said, I can't. And we just hold. There's no, you know, I love worship. The thing I missed most of all, that there are things I really, really missed traveling, was this corporate worship where you just go into the glory. Like, you know, never mind. We're in the dirt and we got to get in, feed the people, get the audio solar Bibles up, speak in our groups of 50. There's like 35 to 50 of us speaking in little groups, share the gospel and listen to their stories and hold them in our arms and weep with those who weep. Weep with those who weep. We weep with them. We listen to their story, and then they let like 70% go, and they say, go tell everybody in every village what we're doing. And their desire is to strike radical fear in everyone so that they would, and they'll say, there will be no kefirs, no porcos, no cows, no pigs, meaning believers in Jesus. So when I came for the first time, there was a reason you two were there. It was for me and Lyle. I love the words of Apostle Paul, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes from Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God, that you might be filled. This is a surrender time. And I could just dilly-dally around and just not tell you all. I can never tell you all. Or I could tell you to wake up, Sleeping Beauty, because the Lord's calling you to wake up. And if you don't understand the times and the seasons, then you're just not going to be able to stand. And the best thing to do if you want to stand firm is to lay down. The best thing to do if you want to stand firm is to lay down. Whether it's here or your room or your car or the streets, lay down and just stop bargaining with God. Stop bargaining with God. He's too perfect. for you to imagine that you would have the audacity, or I would have the audacity, to bargain with God. If you do this, I will do that. If you do this, I will do that. If this happens, I will go. No more. It's this. Hands up. Stick them up. You're going to stick them up for someone. It's either the dark side or it's Jesus himself. So you get a choice. You get a choice to stick them up more. But there's only two choices. But we're like, oh, how? There's an anointing in the room, and it's like, okay. And we go out, and it's like, all right, high five, Jesus. This is no okay, just because, I'm not going to explain, I'm just going to say it. So I'm at the Glory Garden. Glory Garden. Some of my friends are here from the first real grocery store. We were like ticked. We were ticked off because they cut our road off and we couldn't get into our base. And I'm like, that's not nice. And someone said, sue him. And I'm like, that's not nice. So what happened was we went through the back village. And I know things are recorded, so I'll be careful. But I was like, God, that's not nice. They took our base and they took our road. They didn't take the base, but they took our road. And so the bulldozers, finally, I had to get bulldozers in to bulldoze down the buildings that were crumbling because we couldn't maintain anything because we had no road. So we had to take bulldozers and make a road. You know, it was challenging. Just my little world, not anything big, but it was challenging. And so we bulldozed down a bunch of things. And then we said, okay, we're just going to make this a glory garden and we're just going to worship here. And then the things heated up with the war. And we finally, people that maybe have a building or something or a few or thousands or whatever might understand. So we had just finished our way, our kitchen, you know. It's not like your kitchen. There's no counter or anything or stove, but it was like it had a roof, you know. We were excited. Everybody finds joy in their thing. And we were like, this rocks. And we had open air. And the Lord hid us. So we were hidden from the main road. And God, Jehovah, knew how to do it. So he hides us. And the only way to get in was way walk this way, that way, around. And so there we were hidden. And suddenly our senior leaders started to come back to the place where they were trained. Why? Because their homes were burned to the ground. Their churches were burned to the ground. We have almost 1 million internally displaced people in my province. You don't hear about it the too often, but if you search, you'll see Northern Mozambique. Check it out. Someone needs to. And so we're there, and we're just, Roland disciples them. I disciple them. It's just like the greatest joy. There's no, we're gonna have food here. We like to eat. And I show up, and my other pastors, I'll tell you some of their names, like Jose Shumbulu, Edward, Pumba. We got some of our pastors here with their families. I hadn't been there in a day, I believe a day, maybe two. I said, I need you to talk to him. So we get our snazzy plastic chair And I sat it out on the dirt. It's just, we wanted to honor them with that chair. And I said, what happened? They said, they came in. They screamed. I won't say what they screamed, but they screamed the same thing every single time. And then they started chopping and burning. And we ran. And my friend, who I trained with my husband and my Mozambican team and some awesome missionaries that are now all over the world, they didn't stop. They just got sent out at Mbala. Whoa! I'm listening. And these guys are there. I said, my wife ran one way. I ran the other way. And we lost 3 of our kids. We can't find them. This is my now. This is my now. This is my now. Do you see why I have no excuses bargaining with God? I repented before you. And so I don't want to justify myself in saying that it was hard to come to the West, even for a couple of weeks. I don't want to, but I do want to repent and say, I want to be willing to do whatever he asked of me. And these brothers and sisters are taking me to a place of greater surrender that I have always wanted, but I'm finally moving towards it in greater depth. But I didn't expect part of it to include America. A portion. Doesn't matter. If you're dead, you're dead. And you're alive in Christ. And that's what these brothers and sisters teach me. And I said, where have you found your kids? Let's send out a search party, get a radio, whatever. We searched. We worked at it. We searched. We never found those 3. But they said as they walked, they brought others with them. And they said those guys brought others with them. And they walked past all these bodies. And they said they just kept walking. And the only place they knew to go was they would walk to where they were trained as pastors. They walked, some of them 3 days, no water, no food, walking with broken, shredded hearts and absolute horror and agony and pain beyond anything I've ever understood or wanted to understand. And then, I think, Lord, I think that I've really grown somehow in 40 some years. And then something like this happens and I do it again. I did it again. I bargained again. I said, Lord, I don't know how much I can hear. Like, how many times do I hear this every day, 3 days a week, 4 days a week? What do I do, Lord? We're feeding 30,000 meals a day, and it feels like a drop in the ocean. And there are times I'm like, God, it doesn't matter. It's only 30,000 meals. It's so ridiculous. There's a million people. World Food Program's about to back out because it's just too much. Challenge, and I'm like, God, what are you thinking? And I know he's in control, but what I did was this horrible thing that I've done before, and I come before you repenting again. I looked for a moment at me. I looked for a moment at me. If you look at you for a moment, you're in, that's the moment of weakness. And the more challenging things are in this world gone mad, the more you need to understand it is Christ crucified. It is Jesus. Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. He is the prize. He's the purpose. He's the reason. He's the everything. Do not for a moment get your eyes back on yourself and start bargaining with God and telling him what he can and cannot do with you. And I've told the Lord, but Lord, I'm too small. I'm not able. I'm too old. I'm too white. Yeah. I told God that. Why did you make me this color? Fussing with him. 15, my kids, we don't look alike. Just saying. It's like, God, why did you just pick somebody else? You know, somebody capable. Somebody able. He said, I did. Here's one right here. Oh, shut up. See, everybody that's yielded, God can use, but you gotta get your eyes off yourself. Holy unto Jesus. So my brothers start telling me, first one, Shulumbo, Shulumbo, such a mighty man of God, so humble, so mighty. He tells me his story and he falls on the ground, he off the fancy plastic chair, down he went, crash. I don't feel worthy, but I just put my hands on him. And I just pray in the spirit. And he bursts out laughing. Lost children, nowhere to sleep. Another one of our pastors who came earlier with his family because they burned his village first. We gave him this little house. We did our best, you know. We hung up the capilanas and everything. And we cleaned it and we did our very best to make it as honoring as we could for these beautiful brothers. And this pastor, he said, we don't know, we put them all in our yard, our quintal. Well, their quintal is about a fourth the space of your stage here. I said, you did what? He said, we didn't know what to do with them. So we put them in our quintal and we took the capilanas so they could sleep on them. And we gave them our grass mats. And the Lord said, what's in your hands? And I was like, kitchen. The kitchen. So ridiculous. I literally wanted to fuss for a moment about giving away the kitchen. Help me, Jesus. I said, I'm so sorry. We have a kitchen. We didn't have any doors on it or anything, but we put some on the next day. And 22 of them moved in. And I never saw such gratitude, such joy, such extraordinary joy and gratitude as I saw in these families, complete with their new adopted children with no documents. be for such a time as this? And I was telling him, well, maybe we could just do a couple of days once in a while if I really had to, because I do want to see my two pale grandchildren. And I'm like, I just, Lord. And then I came, and then I groaned for America. And I'm like, God, why would you do this? I'm just so small. And he's like, that's true, but I'm big. Why would we bargain with God? Stop bargaining with God and give him your everything and surrender your little life on that altar and say, God, it's not about me. It's not about me. Whatever it is that you have asked of me, Lord, I surrender. When you surrender, all he means is to surrender. It's not a half-hearted surrender. It's a whole-hearted surrender. He is worthy. He is the only one found worthy. He is the only one found worthy. He is the only one found worthy. And my brothers and my sisters, teach me shakaraba what it means. And then they say, when do we get to go? When do we get to go? When do we get to go? And day in and day out, they go in the trucks, in the back of the trucks with what? Tons and tons of food, audio, solar Bibles, the gospel of Jesus Christ in the face of suffering. And they're not afraid. And the guys from the other side are all around. And yes, they're watching. And yes, they threaten. And yes, they've killed many of the people that we love. But I'll tell you one thing. Jesus is worthy. 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 This is the part that I struggle to tell you. When I see 911 over America, you see, we had open heavens. Many of you came. Open heavens. We had thousands of visitors coming into Cabo Delgado. We get ready. Some of you want to hear a different message. I don't know all that America will face, but I know intercession. I know groaning, and I know that the Lord asked me to come here for these couple of weeks, and my hands are up. There is suffering and joy in the same cup, beloved. There is suffering and joy in the same cup, beloved. There is suffering and joy in the same cup, beloved. And Jesus asks you to drink. Drink. Drink it. Drink it. Paul prayed, and he prayed for the Philippians. Oh, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage, so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body. Let that be your prayer tonight. Christ be exalted in my body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain. I will remain. I will remain. I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith. So through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow, Paul said, on account of me to the Philippians. Wow. Ah, what a beautiful testimony of a laid down lover of God. What happens, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel, worthy of the gospel of Christ. Stop chewing each other up. Stop chewing each other up. I am, oh, sweet Jesus. Stop chewing each other up. Old testimony. I'm going to tell you one old one. I'm in. Boy, thank you, Jesus. But those that deny him and hate him and hate him and deny him, they will be destroyed, but you will be saved. And that by God, for it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him. They're cruel with their words or their posts. They've hurt you deeply, and sticks and stones break your bones, and words do hurt incredibly. And a lot of the body of Christ is backed off their radical obedience to Christ to keep it safe. To keep it safe. And the Lord understands your suffering there. But he calls you to love him no matter what the cost. To stand firm no matter what the cost. Whether your accounts get shut, whether your friends forsake you, whether you are tortured and beaten. One of my dear friends, Felizardo, I led him to the Lord in my church. He's about this tall. Felizardo is about this tall. Is one of our educators in our children's center. They came in and they said, you're going to die like your God. They said, you're going to die like your God. That's what they said. And then they put him on a tree and they nailed nails through his feet. They ran out of nails. They tied his hands onto the tree. They put a plastic bag, a big black like garbage bag around him, and they poured combustible into it, fuel. And they put barbed wire around his neck, and they lit him on fire. They said, you're going to die like your God. And he said he was screaming, and I think he... If he could have gotten off, he might have denied the Lord. He said he would have tried not to. And some people, his little four-year-old ran into the bush. His wife ran, screaming, ran, never saw her again. The little four-year-old, one child, the two-year-old was poisoned by some neighbors for their faith. Two-year-old. Somebody found him, the Good Samaritans found him, took him off that cross, got him to the hospital. He has the worst burns I've ever seen. And guess who leads our logistic department now for feeding all those people? Every single day, that many people, dry food. Felizardo, because the Lord saved him, miraculously saved him. The greatest scars, and his body's in a lot of pain, and we pray for him a lot, but his spirit's strong. And he said, I am not a victim. I will give my life to share the gospel and to help my brothers and sisters. And we prayed, and we found his little girl, and they now have a home in Pemba. And he goes out 3-4 days a week with us sharing the gospel. He can't carry the heavy bags of rice because he's too scarred. But I learn a lot from that precious man. He's not perfect in any way, and he doesn't want to be called a hero. None of them do. They survived. And they stayed strong by grace. And it's time for hands up. I know you'll stand firm. This is a sign to them. It has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but to also suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had and now here that I still have. And this is what he's asking of you now, to take on, to imitate Christ's humility, to imitate Christ's humility, to go low and to go lower still with a spirit of comforting from his love and united in Christ and tenderness and compassion. And then Paul prays, make my joy complete, be like-minded with the same spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant. Oh, here, please, would you just if you're not too afraid, close your eyes and just surrender right now, lift your hands, because here is the call of the Lord on your life. And I know I am such a little mama, and I know I feel silly and inept, but God is God and he can do anything through anyone. So Lord, would you move tonight with power, move tonight and cause your people in a holy fear of the Lord to lay their lives before you, to stop the bargaining and to stick up their hands in full surrender to you, Shakaraba, and to do everything without complaining. Everything without complaining. No complaining, no arguing, so they may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a very crooked and depraved generation. Here comes Sana Masheya, Shana Masaya. If there's a few more of you who want to lay down, they're going to close this building in a very few minutes. I want you to, if you feel you just need to lay down and say, I'm not bargaining anymore. I'm not bargaining anymore. I'm not bargaining anymore. Full surrender, Lord. Whatever you want of me, whatever you ask me, whatever you have need of, Lord, here's my little life, Lord God. I give you my fear of man right now. I lay down the fear of man. I lay down the fear of death. I lay down the fear of being mocked. I lay down the fear of being tortured, the fear of being misunderstood. I lay down the fear, Lord, the fear of being educated, the fear of being not educated. I lay down the fear of being rich, the fear of being poor, the fear of not having enough, the fear. I lay down the fear at your feet. Holy is the Lamb, and I stop bargaining tonight. And you now are called to shine holy like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. Who are the circumcision? Holy! We who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus. Jesus, we glory in you, and who put no confidence in the flesh. For the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider holy everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through Christ, through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and fellowship of sharing in his suffering, being like him in his death. And so somehow to obtain to the resurrection from the dead. So I forget. I forget what is behind me. And I strain towards what is ahead. And I press on. And I press on. And I press on. I press towards the goal, Jesus, to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards.